Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Shift. I hope you had a lovely week. I'm actually recording this intro from the balcony, so if you hear any outside noise, that's just for the intro. It's not going to be in during the episode. I'm in Hawaii at the moment, and I'm going to be flying back today to fly into Portland. So I'm going to edit this episode on the way and then upload it while I'm in Portland, and then from Portland be back in New York. So absolutely great holiday. I was really lucky because one of the girls I was here with, Lindsay Thiessen, said that she would do the podcast. So we recorded that on Tuesday. And she's absolutely amazing. She's a comedian in New York City. She's one of my really great friends. We run a show together. So I was really excited to have her on as a guest. And she actually spoke about how last year she quit drinking. So she spoke all about being an alcoholic, what pushed her to quit, how she realized that she was struggling with alcoholism. She also talked about her relationship with her mother and recently cutting her out, and why she had to, and what it was like growing up with a mother who had mental health issues. So there's no video for this podcast because we couldn't record it. The Wi-Fi just wasn't good enough here in Hawaii. Literally, Hawaii's like, get off your phone, go enjoy yourself. The signal's terrible over here. So there'll be no video, but if you want to listen to next week's episode, that'll be up on the Patreon early, probably Wednesday. And there's other episodes up there with the other videos up there as well. And there'll be a solo episode as well, just an extra long episode all about Hawaii. So yeah, enjoy this episode. And again, that's Patreon.com/The Shift Podcast. Pay what you want. If you could rate, review, all of that. A motorcycle literally went by as I'm recording that. So yeah, it's Patreon.com/The Shift Podcast. If you can rate, review, all of that, that would be amazing. But other than that, enjoy this episode. And I'll talk to you next week. So we are the three of us here in Hawaii. You might have seen Lindsay on my Instagram stories because we run a show together in New York City. And we both don't speak to our mothers.
That is true. No, I'm fine. I don't need water. Here's water right here. I was going to say. Dry mouth. But yeah, we don't. I mean, I don't speak to her on and off. It's just since last Christmas that we are again back in the not speaking zone. But it does feel like it's like more permanent this time than past.
What made you decide to stop speaking to your mother?
This time was, so my older brother, Katie knows this, my older brother is like very like immunocompromised. He has like multiple sclerosis, diabetes, type 1. He's overweight, which is like another risk factor for COVID. He's having like a lot of trouble with his eyesight too, which was like a complication from diabetes. And then my other brother has like 4 small children that were in preschool unmasked in South Carolina. And my mother thought it was a good idea to throw an indoor Thanksgiving with my older brother, the one that's very sick, around the little kids who are in school all day without masks on. And I was just like, this is insane. Yeah. Which, I mean, it's on my brothers too for going along with it, but it's more just like, you know, she's the mother. She should really know better to like not be like mixing all those people together. And then what happened was, so the kids, my niece got exposed to COVID right before Thanksgiving, so she had to be in isolation, so that canceled the Thanksgiving. And then I was like, great, everyone learned their lesson, problem solved. And then my mom starts planning Christmas, and I'm like, we just saw how easily she could have gotten Eric very sick. And then same thing, it's just she's plowing ahead with it. My brothers are like, well, we don't really want to do it, we're going to like get out of it, which I'm just like, be men, you're adults. But then my niece gets COVID and gets her entire family sick right before Christmas. So thank God they weren't around my older brother. Yeah. And then on top of this, I had just quit drinking, and we have like tons of alcoholism in my family. And I told my mom that, I was like, Mom, I literally just quit drinking. And she quit drinking like a long time ago. And she's like, our whole fucking lives. She's been like, you didn't do enough for me when I quit drinking. You guys weren't supportive. Your father did this. You all were sabotaging me, which is like all not true.
Yeah.
And I was just like, Mom, like, I just quit drinking. Like, could you not do this right now? And especially for me, it brought up a lot from like when I was younger. She lost custody when they got divorced. So it was just like she used to pick up my younger brother's carpool drunk and stuff like that. So it brought up a lot of that stress. Like right when I quit drinking, it was like 4 days after I stopped. She texted me and she's like, do you want to fly to South Carolina for Thanksgiving with my older brother who's so sick? I was like, are you insane?
And did she support like at all when you said I'm quitting drinking?
Was she no, like- she's never once asked.
Okay.
In like, I mean, I blocked her number like a month ago because she kept like trying to like text me like every few weeks and just act like nothing happened.
Yeah. That's also the more, that's the more head fucking part of it when someone, you're in an argument with someone and they're texting you like you're not. You're like, this is.
Yeah. And I would be like, hey, Mom, remember that big fight we're in?
Yeah.
You remember what you did a few months ago? And she'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, why don't you scroll up? Because this is a giant text conversation. And she was like, well, I delete all my text messages. But then it's like, she's like so mentally ill. It's like arguing with someone who's like, doesn't live in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Cause she would just like say, but she'd be like, well, you were the one who came down from the worst place in the world without getting tested to see Eric. I've seen my older brother once in like fucking almost 2 years since this all started. It was like October of 2020 when New York was at like 0.1% COVID. And I got tested like five times.
And you were fully vaccinated.
This was before vaccinations. This was when you would just like New York was luckily in like a good place. And I got tested.
Yeah.
And not five times. I got tested like three times before I came. Yeah. And that's the only time I saw him. And she
and
was
you
like,
drove down, right?
No, that was Christmas that I drove down because we were going to see him at Christmas. Because again, he's just like so sick. We were all so freaked out about seeing him. And we were going to see him at Christmas. And then my sister-in-law was like, me and my dad were going to see him and my sister-in-law, I think outside. And my sister-in-law at the last minute, the day before, was like, I really am nervous. And we were like, that's fine. We don't want to get him sick because we were nervous too.
Yeah.
So when she said that, we were like, no, it's fine. We don't have to see each other.
How does the rest of your family feel about you not talking to her? Do they put pressure on you or?
No, because she's nuts. My brothers are like, whatever. Like no one, my mom's sisters don't speak to her either because she got really mentally ill at them after their parents died.
And does she know she has mental illness? Does she ever address it? Or
she doesn't address it. She kind of acts like it's everyone else's fault and not hers. You know, it's like, you know, it's your mom's the same way.
Yeah,
it's like nothing's her fault. She's always the victim. It's not in reality. And then it's like, it's interesting since I've quit drinking because she's also turned around and done a lot of the stuff to me that she claims we all did to her.
Yeah.
She's like, you guys were all sabotaging me. No one was supportive. No one ever asked. And I'm like, okay, if you were such a raging alcoholic that you like lost custody of your kids and then your own daughter quits drinking like almost exactly
a big party
almost exactly 20 years later.
Yeah.
And you don't even ask one time. So, I mean, the thing that's also like I'm really upset about, I'm like, you don't even ask one time.
Yeah.
And just like I was just
it's all about her.
It's all about her.
If you bettering yourself and you quitting drinking, now it's like she's like, oh, well, it's not about me anymore. So she has to, it all has to, she can't address that you're quitting drinking because then it'll be about you and you doing something amazing and you passing these like, you know, this goal because you're nearly at a year.
Yeah.
But then that just takes the attention off her.
Well, and she's also no longer like, so a big thing she'd always try to get attention for was like, and my aunt said this, so she used to put on this big act like for the rest of her family, which I'm sure your mom did similar things, where it's like she would lie to the rest of her family that I was so awful to her. Like my aunts and my grandparents, she'd be like, Lindsay's so mean to me. And my aunt calls it like poor Susan. She's like, we bought into her like poor Susan act. My aunt called me like sobbing after my grandparents died. She's like, I had no idea she was like this. And I was just like, yeah, this would have been helpful like 15 years ago.
I know. It's what's very frustrating about that is you're a child, and in my situation I was a child, and they all believe that we're like some antichrist demon child. They believe this like adult over the child,
and it's like they don't I'm like, how are these women coming across as like mentally stable adults? That's like like you were in like elementary school. I was like probably in middle high school when she was saying this shit. That it's like, okay, you're clearly a mentally unstable adult and you're telling your family that like a little girl or like a teenage girl is like maliciously like attacking you and you're believing that, it's like, then I'm just like, when my aunt said that, I was like, okay, a lot of this is like on you. I'm like, this is like 15 years too late that you realize she's full of shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, part of it, I am always like, part of it is that they can't have believed it. It's just, that's the easier. It's like, choose your battles. And sometimes people are like, it's easier to just go with this mentally instead of being on that, like, because you don't want to argue against them, because then you're on their side. They're like, attack you.
Yeah,
so
that's
easier. Like, oh yeah, sorry about your problem. Sorry about, because like with me, no one really. I remember one time someone asked me like, why didn't you say what was going on? And I was like, well, nobody asked. They had to have known. Like, people must have known. But I think it was just like, it's just easier not to listen to my mother and be like, not help Katie. Then I'll be on her wrong side and have to listen to her screaming at them or going nuts at them or causing drama. Like, these people can be dangerous in your life.
Yeah. And that's what I was bitching. So my mom's older sister has always been smarter about my mother. And I was talking to her about it last Christmas. And I was like, I don't understand why my brothers just like go along with her. Cause they would do this when we were kids too. She'd be like drunk and she'd be like, I'm going to go get Chinese. And my brothers would be like, all right, let's get in the car. And I'd be like, what are you doing? And I was like, what are you doing? Cause my one brother was like a teenager. I was like, you're fucking stupid. I was like, get out of the fucking car.
Yeah.
And she was just like, your mom's nuts. And she steamrolls them. And I'm just like, they're grown men. You know, it's still just like,
It's so much
cowardice on like people's parts.
It's so many situations where people are like, it's just easier to go with it than to even stand up. What about your dad? Because your dad and her aren't together.
No, he did fucking divorce her, and like, he was like, you're not getting custody.
Although, which is amazing.
In the end, like, the reason she even got 50-50 custody was because like the custody battle went on for like a fucking while. We only lived with my dad for like almost 2 years. But my mom was like, I'm going to make them go in front of a judge and say who they want to live with.
Yeah.
And my dad's like, I'm not going to make them do that.
Yeah, it's horrible. And your dad, in fairness to him, because that's what happened to me with the therapist. And it is very traumatic, because that shouldn't that choice should never be put on.
No
one
like
under
you
18.
You were five. Katie told us this like horrible story the other night about how her mom like fucking. I'm like, what is a 5-year old going to do in front of a therapist? You know?
Yeah. So I think that was really wise of your dad. And 50-50, he's still like, you're still with him half the time.
Exactly.
And you're still getting to have a relationship with your mother as well.
Yeah.
And you're getting a space where if you're with him 50% of the time, you're able to see like normality. Like, that was why I was very lucky going down to my dad's every second weekend, because I could see like normal relationships, how a normal family acts, not like someone throwing an absolute fit because you said you like lettuce. Like, I remember one time being like, I was like talking about my stepmom, and I was like, she always makes salads. They're really nice, because I've been down there for a weekend. And I don't know what my mother heard, but she like flipped out, being like, oh, you think I'm a terrible mother? And this went on for like hours. And it's like, I just said I like salads. And I remember my grandmother at the time just being like, she's just, don't mind her. She's just crazy, Katie. But it was just like, you were always walking on eggshells. So it's nice to have another, like, in that way, I feel like we're lucky that we did have another parent to kind of
be more like normal, even model if like the they weren't, you know, perfect, but. I know. I do think that having such an insane mother does like set the bar so low. Sometimes I'm like, I think of some of my dad and I'm like, that wasn't great. And I'm like, who cares? Yeah, who cares? The bar is so low. He's like, great.
He called me this month.
Yeah. I'm like, he never yelled at me for like absolutely no reason, or he never picked anyone up completely hammered.
Your dad, has he been supportive over you quitting booze?
Yeah, he has. He's, not asked a lot about it, because I think he kind of like feels shitty that I don't think he's like thrilled that one of us has had to quit drinking.
Yeah.
Even though my younger brother, I mean, I don't know, he had kids. He was a pretty big boozer in college, but then like he had kids right after, so that kind of pulled him out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has been like, he got me my dog.
Yeah, that's great. He was like, okay, well, you're gonna need a pet now.
That was like
to bring you home at night.
That was his, sorry, I didn't notice you were bottoming out during a pandemic present.
Yeah.
So he's been supportive, because like I've had like things I've encountered that I've had to like just be like, I can't deal with this right now. I'm quitting drinking. And he's been like, it's fine.
Yeah.
So like in that way, he's supportive.
What was the thing that made you push to quit drinking?
It was just honestly, so I had wanted to quit for a while. And I was kind of like, so I went on antidepressants in like spring 2019, like May. And then after that, I quit smoking. And I was kind of like, I'd cut way back on drinking in 2019 summer. That's why I like fucking, I dropped like 10 pounds. And everyone's like, are you anorexic? And I was like, no, I literally cut back on drinking. Which I was like, ooh, this is a red flag, Lindsay. You shouldn't lose this much weight just from cutting back.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like heading towards quitting because I could only really handle quitting one thing a year. So it was like 2019, I was like, quit smoking cigarettes.
And then I forgot you used to smoke.
I know. I was a big smoker. I'd always say, well, I only smoked like one or two a day. But then sometimes I'll say that to people and they'll be like, I saw you rip cigarettes. And I'm like, fair. And then I was kind of like, well, I'll quit drinking next. And I was, like I said, like, so 2019, like May on, I cut way back. Like, I think I was drunk like once or twice that year. And then, but then the pandemic hit in March. And then I was just like, obviously drinking's my coping skill. So I was just drunk like every single day for like 8 months and I just could not do it anymore. And then I was also like, I do this, which is bad. I'll like drink and take Ambien, which is bad. You shouldn't do that. But I did that like, and I was doing that again in like November. And I was just, I was literally like, I was like, I knew winter was coming with like the pandemic. And I was like, you're literally going to accidentally fucking kill yourself. I was like, cause it, I was like, you're going to get so depressed. And you're going to get cocky about how much you can take of this and how much you can drink. And it was just like, I was like, you have to stop. I was like, you might like literally die this winter.
Was there a specific day where you just woke up and you're like, I need to?
No. Well, what happened was also the other thing was it was my birthday. I turned 35 and I was like, you're too old to do this shit. Yeah. But the problem is my birthday was like the day of the election. So I kind of had in my mind, and that's kind of was even in 2019. I was like, I want to.
Was that when me and Brendan visited you?
Yeah.
We were watching, I think. Oh, no.
No.
Okay, never mind.
So even in 2019, I was like, I want to quit by the time I'm 35 because I feel like that's like too old to be doing this shit. Yeah. But then the pandemic happened, so I obviously didn't. And so because I quit like 10 days after I turned 35. But so my birthday was like right around the election, so it was impossible to quit that week. But the last Saturday I drank was the Saturday that Biden won.
Okay.
That night we were all at the penthouse.
Oh, yeah. I was
there. And then the last night I drank was the Friday after. When we were drinking with Brendan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, honestly, it wasn't anything big happened. Because people have asked me that, like people I drink with a lot. They'd be like, what happened? Tell me the truth. What did you do? And I'm like, honestly.
You woke up with your cat in the fridge.
I know. I'm honestly disappointed because I always wanted to like crash a boat into a TGI Fridays and have that be the end of it. You know?
Yeah, there wasn't really a rock bottom, but I guess it's like.
It was kind of like 8 months of that. I just woke up just like very hungover.
You know what you did? You like exhausted yourself of it. I did the same with, because I smoked cigarettes for 10 years and I took like a 2 year break. But the last time I quit, I was smoking so much. I got sick of it.
That's how you quit anything. And that's what I've been letting myself do with Adderall. Cause that's what I need to quit next.
You're overdoing it.
Yes. Cause if you let yourself like, you just get so sick of it. Yeah, you're just like, I want to just stop.
Yeah.
But I was just so hungover. And I remember I was like, so like my depression was getting really, which is like you just the pandemic and then winter. And then
and plus, anxiety. Yeah.
And plus too, after I turned 35, just being like, you're 35 and doing this shit.
Yeah.
Cause I could also kind of, my mom was 32 when I was born. So I was like, oh, I was like, I can remember her being drunk and being my age.
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh.
And like, yeah, like it's totally fine to go out, have one of those nights. But I even if I have, I try to stay like 3 or 4 drinks. If I have like 5 or 6 or 7 or whatever, the next morning I feel so depressed. So I can't imagine waking up every morning feeling like that.
It was brutal. And then like, I'm trying to think what else really kind of happened. It was just one of those things that was just kind of like a perfect storm. And I just woke up and I was just like, kind of that whole day, I was like, I don't think I can keep doing this.
Yeah.
And then I just like.
Then you got your dog.
No, I got her like. I got her a little bit under 100 days of not drinking.
Wow.
Because I think it was around when I was at 2 months not drinking. That's when I started looking for her.
And did you never did ANA?
No, I need to. My therapist really wants me to. And honestly, I think I should.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it'd be just if it's not for you and you go, but it'd be a great experience just for any coping mechanisms you might need.
Exactly. And just to meet, like, I need to like. Yeah, just more people who like don't drink because sometimes it feels like I'm still just like in the same circles.
Yeah, that's why this trip has been great because so we are on a trip now and there's 4 of us and Sabine will be on the podcast later. She doesn't drink. Adair and me barely drink. We literally have like, So far we've been here 3 days. Me and her have only had one drink each.
Yes, and that's what killed me. I remember the first night when we were out, you guys both got a drink and you drank like 3 sips of yours and you're like, this is so strong. And I was like thinking to myself, and I was like, yo, if I was drinking, I would have definitely had like 2 or 3 drinks by that point.
Yeah, no, that's why, that's what's thing with me as well, is I'm such a slow drinker, and if it's strong I sip on it, and then if I am with people who drink, they're hammered by the time I'm finished one drink. Like when I go out sometimes with my Irish friends, they're like, you're still on your first drink, and they're like 4 drinks deep.
Like, I drink so fast. Like you saw even this morning, we went to go get coffee and like everyone else got one coffee and I got 2 matchas because I'm like fucking insane.
Lindsay double fists literally coffees. Or
yeah, green teas. I'm literally double fisting green tea. And like by the time I paid first and by the time they were even out with their one coffee, I had drank both of them.
Yeah, you had. I had to learn to sip on coffee though. Because yeah. I, the first time I started getting iced coffee, it was so like yump that I was like down it, and then I'd have like a heart attack. So now I purposely sip on that. So maybe that's why I do with booze, because I used to black out with booze.
You've said that to me. You said you used to be a big blackout drinker.
I drank until 20. I moved over here when I was 24, so probably till 25. And when I would drink like shots, hammered apps. And that was kind of the, at home, I wasn't drinking every night, but we would get fucking
blasted.
Yeah, like the first time I gave a boyfriend a hand job, I don't remember. And a month later, I was like, I gave him a hand job and I was like, this is the first time we've done that. And he was like, no, we did that a month ago. And I did not remember. And it's not like I'm like, as well, when I'm blackout, I seem totally normal. But I think I said this to podcast listeners, but my thing was I was like getting hammered. And then like I slept with a friend here, and then he made a joke like how I remember saying we have to use a condom, and then next morning he was like, yeah, you said that, but like I just took it off. And that was like the thing, and I just was like, do you know what, I can't, because I didn't remember that. I don't remember what the conversation was. I don't remember having sex, but I do remember getting into the bed and being like, okay, you have to use a condom, and then that's it. And when I woke up the next morning, I couldn't even remember who it was.
God.
He wasn't in bed beside me. I saw his shoe on the first I woke up naked and there was no one there, and I was like, oh thank god. And then I looked over the bed and I saw a man's fucking shoe.
Was it your apartment? At least
it was my apartment. I was playing fucking sex Cluedo.
I've done that.
And then he was like
it's worse
when
it's your own apartment.
And I also still don't know if he was like joking about that, but I also think he's probably not, because he was like, yeah, he was just like, yeah, you said to, but I just like took it off because like whatever. And then like 2 years ago then, or 2 years after that, it came out like all in the news, like, oh, these guys are doing this and it's assault. And I was like, oh, but at the time I was like put the blame on me, and I was like, I just need to stop drinking as much, I need to be more careful. And ever since then.
Yeah.
So there was like a couple of times then with New York Comedy Club where I stayed and drank, and like Reg had to put me in a car, and he was like, Katie, that was crazy. You were so drunk. You need to get run over. I just walked out in front of the street. So then was like a reminder. I was like,
I've done that before there.
Thank God for.
Once I was so drunk, and then I got really high with Joe and Reg, and they're like, can you get home okay? And I was like, I'm great. I can get home. And they literally were like, Lindsay, no, we're walking you to the Uber. And I was so high. I thought it took me 10 minutes to get in the Uber. And then I was like, this thing's so long.
When you think about the things, you're like, thank God. So, because Reg said I was out in the middle of the street just waving at him. When I was 18, I got so fucking hammered in the city, in Dublin City. And my friends had to, they found me asleep in the bathroom underneath. I got underneath the sink. Like, because I obviously thought that was like comfortable.
I used to do stuff like that.
Because you just want to go into a little cubby. You're like rolling up. They brought me out, and then they were putting me on the bus home, but they started to have a fight, and I was like leaning against the bus stop, and then mid-fight they looked over and I was on the bus waving at them, and the bus had gone. They had to chase after the bus.
I've done that. I'm trying to think of places that I've been like, when I was in like high school and college, that was my move. I crawled underneath a car at a tailgate, and I was like, leave me here, I'm gonna sleep. Behind
we're
a palm
like
tree
animals. We're
behind
like
a palm tree. When I was in Africa, I had to be carried out of a club, and I just like, my friends were like, you were such a dead weight, we just kind of dropped you and you rolled into this ditch. I don't know if it was a ditch. Yeah. I wasn't that dirty. I think they were being dramatic.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm fine, just leave me here. And they're like, Lindsay, this is, you're literally in a ditch in Africa. We can't leave you here.
Isn't it wild? Like, if you were sober and you fell into a ditch, you'd probably die. But there's something about when drunk, your bones just, like, melt away.
Your bones are just, like, goo. I know. That's another time when I was, like, during the pandemic, when I was like, yo, Lindsay, you drink way too much. You need to quit. Katie posted this Instagram story after she'd been drinking. Like, she was out with, like, a guy. You guys were drinking. And you were like, mystery bruises. I don't know where these came from. And I was like, immediately, I was like, you fell up a flight of stairs. And you're like, oh, I did.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is bad. You can just identify drunk bruises on site.
That was bad because that I had a blackout.
Yeah.
Like it was like, I always have like at least once a year repeat blackout. And that I don't remember. And he said I put like his hand on my vagina. I'm like, geez, that's so embarrassing. And then with Leland, I blacked out. So I have to do it at least once a year.
Oh, was that the 4th of July? I was there. That was so funny.
Oh my God. I kept trying to give you a drink and forgetting that you were
Leland. No, you didn't keep trying to give me a drink.
I don't remember.
You kept, what did you keep doing? You were being funny. You were just like, what were you doing? You were just hammered, honestly. Oh, what was so funny, and that was one of those moments where I was like, oh wow, you definitely made the right choice in quitting drinking. You kept like swaying and like falling and like grabbing poles and like having Leland catch you and be like, I'm old Lindsay.
I'm so
every
sorry.
Time you fell, you'd be like, I'm Lindsay. That's another thing. Katie's the nicest person alive, and that was another time when I was like, fuck, you're just drinking too much, because you just like tagged me in this TikTok about this girl, this blonde girl, like slurring her words and falling off a stool, and you're like, lol at Lindsay Tyson. And I was like, fuck, there's no malice in this. I was like, this is just completely just like, I'm like, you gotta get it together.
I'm so sorry.
No.
I can't believe it. Leland said that I could just kept going, I'm 18, catch me, and then he would have to catch me. He said that I gave you a drink. Okay, so I'm glad I only did it once, but he said that I bought us all drinks, gave you one, and you were like, I don't drink. And then I was like, oh yeah, okay, more for me.
And yeah, then and then you were drinking both of them.
And then Leland tried to be like, maybe I should have the second one. And I was like, no, you have one. I was so sick the next, I puked all day. It was
horrible. You got very drunk. I was like, I don't even know how that happened.
You know what that was? I think that was, there's always triggers, and it's like, that was after the audition for that place.
Oh yeah, that was stressful.
Oh my God. And I think that was the trigger. I think I went out, because I remember being like, Lila, I just need to let my hair down, like as if I didn't even know what that saying it means, but yeah, I just was like, I need to go nuts. That was a lot of fun, but you're right, yeah, that's the thing as well, like
your mind's in like a panicked place, and that's where I'm like, kind of, I'm like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, maybe you can drink one day if you'd go to enough therapy and like fix your brain. She's like, maybe, who knows.
Like, yeah, maybe. And if you don't, it's also fine. Like, here's the thing. You can smoke weed and be fine. I can't smoke weed. So it's like,
weed, though, honestly. Yeah. I'll do it every once in a while, which I'm like, thank God I can do something occasionally. But like, I get anxious.
Yeah, I only did it twice. Like, once in Ireland after drinking so much, I had one little drag and it made me feel sick. And then the next time was in Amsterdam and it made me like really paranoid and freaked out. And but again, I was a different age. It might be different now, but I'm just kind of like, I'm happy I've figured out what I could do booze wise which is like sip really slow, because the thing is, it hits me so hard, the booze. Yeah. So when I'm drinking fast, I'm like having a great time, dead gone. So now if I drink slow, I know,
just black out so easy too. Yeah. Now all
just
last summer
memories.
All last summer, all so funny, summer 2020, which I mean, thankfully, like, I never like say anything bad when who knows, maybe I do and people don't tell me.
You never say anything. You literally go on your phone. When you're blackout, you're just tweeting.
I know, that's what was so hard. I got like all those followers doing that in a blackout, just posting my tweets to Instagram. I like literally blacked out on like March 13th, and then I stopped. This is when I came out of the blackout. I donated blood. I mean, I remember parts of March. It's not like that total of a blackout, but I was basically drinking nonstop. And then I donated blood, and after I donated, I was drunk. I was hammered the night before I donated blood. I was completely blacked out. Foley posted, remember that video Foley posted during the pandemic where he's like blue? It was like some, I don't know what the video was. It was just like a joke video, but he's blue in it. And I was like looking at my phone, and I'd taken an Ambien, and I was drinking wine. And I was like, Amy was at my apartment, and I was like, yo, Foley's blue. And I was just like, whatever. And I remembered that when I was donating blood, and I was like, you saw a video of Foley blue and just thought he was blue.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
And I was like, you just accepted
just
that,
like, he's turned blue now.
He's blue, that's that. And I was like, and then I was like, you're literally kind of still drunk donating blood.
I think though, so like, I think it's like, it's good for, as a friend who's known you for years, you've kind of, quitting drinking was a catalyst as well for other stuff in your life. You've like cut out a lot of relationships that aren't healthy, like your mother, for example.
Well, it's kind of forced me, because like my mom, like we've never had like an easy relationship, but me and my brothers, like, honestly, not to like pat ourselves on the back, but I'm like, we're fucking saints for like dealing with her the way we do, and like we show her an enormous amount of grace when she's like not earned it. But like when I quit drinking, I was kind of like, you have to stop talking to her for a while altogether, because she's just an enormous trigger that's going to drive you to do it again. Yeah. And as you're never going to actually quit drinking if you just like maintain connections with her without her. Because I said to her, I was like, if you apologize for what you did, and she's never apologized for anything, nothing that happened when we were kids, nothing, then I can talk to you. But I knew she wouldn't. So it's kind of just gave me an out to not talk to her anymore.
Yeah. And well, the thing is as well, with it, especially with it being a trigger, because anything where you're saying to someone, hey, you said this, and the fact that you have to refer, you always have to have written evidence, like, and they're like, no, that didn't happen, it would drive you to a drink. Well, because you're just like, oh, this is wrecking my head.
Just like, I sent that to like my dad. I was like, Dad, this is not reality. I said, I did not come visit Eric when New York was like March 2020 without getting tested. I said, I came when New York was doing good and I got tested like three times. I'm like, this is not even.
Yeah. But she knows that. She could literally say, you came and you had a gun, and you'd be like, no, I didn't. She'd be like, I saw the gun. And you're like, it's literally like, it makes you feel crazy, because then you're like, did I have a gun?
I know. And so, it's like, that's what I gaslight you. You're so, like, did I?
I mean, I hate when people do that in general. People do that to me about like, just like things from Ireland. And I'm like, Americans will so confidently say something about Ireland that I'm like calling my dad being like, wait, do we do that in Ireland? He's like, no. But it's the same when it's like that. Like,
yeah.
Our boyfriends do that where they're like, you did. You were like, you know, you were off with this guy or whatever. And you're like,
did I? I know. I was dating this guy, and that's when I learned what gaslighting was. And I was like, oh, that's gaslighting. My therapist was like, look up gaslighting. And I was like, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I was like, this happens a lot to me.
And especially when someone's so confident in it. And if you're kind of like a type of person where you're like, wait, what? When someone says something so confidently to you, when if they're like, your hair is blue, you'll start to question whether you, what, if you know what the color blue is, you'll be like, shit, is my hair blue?
I know.
Is this what the color blue? Because they're so confident in it.
And that's another reason why I knew I had to stop talking to her again. Because like when I was in like high school and college, I had like really low self-esteem and like really bad anxiety, and I had to stop talking to my mother my senior year of college for a number of years. We didn't speak for like at all for 3 or 4 years, and I got so much better mentally. And then I kind of like, we just have like a strained relationship now, because it's just like, yeah, I feel bad, but it's just like, and that's why I was like, you have to do that again.
You have to treat it like your relationship to booze, because the longer wait you are from it, the better you're gonna get, the healthier you get. If you have a fallback and do, it's totally up to yourself. I know I can never have a, I could never sit down and talk to my mother again, because it would be like, it would be literally like if I were an alcoholic and then boozing again that day, because it would just set, it would set all the work I've done to get my brain to this place. And it's taken years to get like, to like those night, those reoccurring nightmares I told you about the other night. Like,
yeah,
that's, the pandemic is like literally the past year. I think it was like the end of that lockdown that I stopped having them. And it's just because in the lockdown I had time to think about, and I was doing those solo podcasts on the Patreon. Yeah. They've been like therapy, and like really talking about all like my issues and shit. Those per people, it feel, it sounds self-indulgent when you say it, but it's also like really helpful just to talk for an hour about like what's in your head.
Work through things.
And I really like those nightmares stop. So it has to be like correlated. Whereas if I, and people like have been like, would you ever talk to her again? It's like, no. Well, firstly, because she's not even, she's never even tried. And she never, like you said, she's never going to apologize. They're never going to, it's always going to be like, but you did this, but your father did this, whatever.
Yes,
like,
your father, you're fine. Excuse, no, I'm supportive when I tried to quit drinking. I was like, bitch, like, yeah, what did you do when I quit drinking?
It's never going to be, they're never going to be able to admit any wrongdoing. And it would just, it would, even thinking about it makes my brain get a headache. And like, when, even when I go back to Ireland, I feel stressed
when I go to South Carolina. Yeah. It's just like anxiety, and then she starts to try to like, which my brothers, like I said, my brothers, no one, that's how I know she's like truly insane, because my brothers don't say shit to me about not talking to her.
Yeah.
Like when I went home, my brother's like, mom's gonna be at the house watching the kids, and I was like, well, I'm not gonna come until she's gone. And he's like, that's fine.
And I wonder, they say that like daughters get it, especially since you're the only daughter,
get it
a little harder, because they see themselves in you a little bit. And
well, and also they get like, and I don't know, my mom was like jealous. Yes, because my mom like got like hostile towards me as I got older. And there's like a lot of hostility about like, you know, it's like body stuff. It's always like comments about my weight and like, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, also it's like you too. Like I remember when I had a boyfriend who was older than me, I was 17 and I was working at the time and everything. But when I brought him in and he was 23, she like purposely pulled it like two euro and like put it in my hand and was like, here's your allowance. And she kind of like made a joke with him, like, oh my god, like make sure she's home early and then she has that allowance if you guys want to get sweets, and really tried to undermine me as like a woman and make me feel, and then was like touching him. But a lot of that again was, is all in her head. It's like I guess she obviously felt threatened or whatever. I don't know. I guess they get a little jealous of you and then they like are like, well, I could have done this if you're doing anything with your life. It's like so weird. It's so weird.
I don't understand the way their brains work. I'm just like, what is this? This is, but like my mom's probably borderline and I talked to someone else who's borderline and was like showing the text and they were like, this is insane. This is like next level.
Yeah. Borderline, I think as well as mine, mom's as well. But I read up about borderline recently because I've always wondered what it is that she has, if it's bipolar or borderline or whatever.
Sounds like a little bit of your mom, like schizophrenia too, because my mom would never think that like murderers were in the house or like anyone was trying to get us.
Yeah,
it was just like wild mood swings and like
she like pulled down the blind and be like the neighbors are watching all the blinds.
I think that's a little bit of schizophrenia.
I know, I don't know what it is, but I like researched, like, because I researched a lot of them when in my early 20s, because I was just like kind of wanted to know if anything would come out myself.
But, oh yeah,
because you're always
by now. Yeah, I know.
It's so awful, paranoid. Isn't it? I know. But the borderline thing, they said that
it's always present, kind of.
Well, they said that the wires are crossed and they just don't understand it enough right now. But it's like giving people medicine and trying to work through it.
Yeah,
they don't have
treated. It. Yeah, all like
they don't
therapy.
have a proper cure because it's literally your wires are crossed in your brain.
Yeah, it's just wild. Like it's a personality disorder. It's not like a chemical imbalance.
Well, because my friend is bipolar and when she takes her medicine, and she's very open about that, she takes her medicine all the time, and like because of her experience before she had her medicine, she never goes off it. She's like, I want this life I want, and she's amazing. But I don't know about borderline.
It's tricky. I mean, she also has no interest in treating it at all.
Yeah,
so
my mother
like,
is never. She's never going
to
be.
My mom's not like, oh, I think I have a problem. I should go talk to a therapist about it. It's like,
yeah, well, my other friend, their mother has something too, but the therapist told them they couldn't diagnose it because they enforced her to go to therapy. But every time she goes to therapy, she's so charming and fine, normal, and able to be like, oh, no, I don't have any issues with my children. But then she does like stuff that our parents, like our moms did to us.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, they lie to therapists.
The therapist said it's really hard to diagnose because they lie. All of a sudden, they're like a completely functioning parent. And then they go home and they're fucking doing mental stuff to the kid. So it's really hard to...
My dad said that. Like, she was like around when they were... Which, I mean, honestly, my dad also never wanted to go to therapy, which is like not great on his part. But my mom was like going to therapist. And she kept like firing them. And I said, do you know why? And he said, I gathered that she didn't like what any of them had to say to her. Yeah. So it's like, that's another thing. You can go to a therapist. If you don't like what they say, get rid of them. Get a new one. Eventually, you're going to find someone who's going to tell you what you want to hear.
I know. And that's hard because, like, they're never going to tell you what you want to hear. They're going to be like, okay, you need to work on this. This is an element. Like, and it's not in a bad way, but it's like, you want to go and learn how to get better, fix your mental health. They're not trying to attack you. They're trying to give you life.
Also, therapists, it's hard because they can't necessarily, at least in the United States, because like the last time she went to rehab, me and my brothers were adults, so we were the contact persons for her like treatment. And they can't, even if you're that person, they can't share a lot with you. So she could have gotten been like diagnosed as like borderline or histrionic or bipolar or any of those. And we would just never know because she wouldn't have to tell us.
Yeah. It's tough. They should be able to tell the family in one way because then you could help. But then also I know that maybe if you have it and you don't want the family to know, because what if you had an abusive husband, they'll use it against you. It's really
exactly
hard.
It's tricky the way things are. And that's another thing that I think is so tricky in this country. And I'm sure it's like this in other countries where it's like, it's very hard to have someone committed if they're like, especially my mom would always be like, I'm going to kill myself. And we'd be like, what do we do? Can't tell you how many times we've had like a family meeting where we're like, oh, this bitch is trying to kill herself. What do we do? And it's like, you can't easily commit someone.
No.
It's like my brother once, she was like, she went to the hospital and my brother's like, she said, I don't want to stay. And they just let her go.
Yeah.
Which is hard because again, you don't want to make it too easy to commit people. Cause then
that's
it's
what
just
they did
like
to all these women.
Yeah. And that's what they used to do. But then it's like, I have no idea how you find the middle ground in that.
I remember, this is so weird, when you said that, it brought back your memory. I don't think I've said it on the podcast before. I probably said it on the Patreon, but of being younger, I don't know what age I was, but I'd upset my mother. God knows what I said that I'd upset her.
Who knows what you ever say to him?
But she was crying at the kitchen table and she said, "How would you feel if I slit my wrists here and all the blood drained out of me?" And I don't think about it every day, but when someone says like kill themselves, it's like a flashback. I always get that flashback of that. And that is wild. Imagine saying that to a child.
My mom would do that too. She would be like, the last once of time she relapsed, so we were all adults, we show up at Christmas, she's like fucking hammered and she's like, "Oh, I was gonna kill myself last night because you guys went to grandma's," and I'm like, great, so you're literally saying it's our fault that you were gonna kill yourself.
Yeah, and you can't, that's like, what, you can't.
I know. And my mom too, so annoying. She's always like, "I'm gonna kill," I'm like, it's always, and then like if you get in a fight with her, she used to do this, and it's so manipulative because she tried to kill herself like a few times, whatever. She almost died a few times when I was in middle school, and then it's always like, "I'm gonna fucking kill myself." And so you'll get in a big fight with her, and then she'll turn her phone off. So you think that she's off likes, and yeah. I used to like freak out because I'd be like, "This is all gonna be my fault if she like kills herself." And then like whenever someone like famous kills themselves, she'll always text me. She's like, "Oh, Robin Williams killed himself." I'm like, "Why are you sending me this?"
Yeah, it's really hard.
But I remember that Christmas, I think it was my older brother who got so mad at her, and he was just like, "Go fucking do it then."
Yeah. But I had an ex-boyfriend who threatened to kill himself, and I remember one time being like, he just would do it all the time, he'd do it all the time, and this happens a lot where, you know, boyfriends or girlfriends do that.
I know. I remember that Christmas, my mom was being such a bitch. So we were like all day, she's like, "I'm gonna kill myself, I'm gonna kill myself." We're like, "No, you're not, like whatever." But we like hid all our pills just in case.
Yeah.
And then she's like, "Well, are you gonna hide my belt?" And being joking. And I'm like, "This isn't funny." I'm like, "You realize this is my oldest nephew, Owen's first Christmas." I'm like, "You just ruined your first grandchild's first Christmas for everyone. And you're making these jokes."
Yeah. It's horrible. It is horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible for, because there is real people who do that and they're struggling. And it's,
but then at the same time, I have such a hard time with it because I'm like, you know what? Like, my dad had a drinking problem. I was like, I probably have a drinking problem. And I was like, we never did this to everyone.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is just who you are as a person.
Oh, 100%. It's nothing to do with the drinking. Because my mom wasn't drinking when she said that.
Or even I know people who are like bipolar or mentally ill. I'm like, they don't treat people like this.
One of my closest friends from comedy, she's bipolar. She's very open about it. She's never
treated anyone
like
that.
No. And even if she has an argument with her boyfriend, she sits down with her friends. It's like a general chat talking about what she did. It's not like... it's not an excuse to be a terrible person. It's not an excuse to emotionally terrorize people. And that's the other thing. I know I said this to you. Like, I was doing a bit about it on our show, and I really need to work it out before I put it in my set. But I do find that, yes, let's be pro mental health. Let's get everybody the help they need. But you need to also get the people who were with those people help too. Like the children who had to deal with someone who had undiagnosed mental health. You can't be like, "Oh," and if someone, like if you decide to cut off your mother and then it comes out that she has bipolar, and then she's like, "You need to stay in contact with me because I have bipolar and you should support me." No.
No.
You don't have to. If you can't deal with that, that's okay. It's not just because you have a mental health issue, it's not an excuse to have been bad to people.
Apologize or make any type of amends. Because
like
with
her, alcoholics have to apologize. They left it in the 12 steps.
Well, she never did that. When she was doing the 12 steps, she called my aunt. This is when I was probably in like the 7th grade, and she's like, "I just like don't know who to apologize to, because like when I got drunk, I just like, you know, slept in the closet." And my aunt's like, "Well, I think that was probably hard for your three small children when you
really
were
hard. Oh, yeah,
so passed out for a year and a half.
Well, she's sleeping. You guys were probably trying to cook your own food, trying to like fucking mind yourself. Like if you have a kid, your job is
plus two. She would be passed out, and then like, you know, if she like passed out, she split her head open once, and like I was the one who found her. So it was like, that's actually when they got divorced. So she fell. She got really drunk, and she like just slipped and like split her head open, and I was the one who found so much blood. And my dad was like, "I realized like one of you kids could find her dead," which I'm like, "Yeah, you should have realized that a while ago, but like whatever, it's like, you know what?"
Yeah.
And she was like pretty soon after it was like done.
How old were you when you found her?
13.
Yeah, that's really fucking tough.
But like my dad after that was like, "That's it, this is ending," because it had dragged on all year, her getting worse and worse. And after that happened, my dad's like, "This is absolutely
and
over."
Your dad lived in the same area, so you still went to the same school. There wasn't much
moved out, and then when she moved out, it was a big drama. She like drove a car into a lake.
Jesus Christ.
I know, it was just like, and I remember being so pissed off because I was 13, and like my younger brother was like 10 and he was like really like affected by it a lot more than I was. And I was just like, my mom was like packing and like sobbing. And I was like, hey, I was like, you could just like do this like a little quieter for like Zachary. He's like in like fourth grade. And she was like, couldn't do it.
Yeah, well, because they live off sympathy.
They live off. And that's because her mom was there. And so she was putting on this big act for my grandmother.
And like, they don't realize, okay, so they live off sympathy and all this stuff. And they're trying to get the bad attention because they get that quicker. But if she was like, you know what, you're right, I need to get myself sorted. And she packed up and she was like, don't worry, kids, you're going to live with your dad. Your dad's amazing. I'm going to get the help I need. She would get all this great attention from
and
you
that's
guys. You
what's
would
find so it, sad.
You would build her up. You would be there for her. And even if she did have like a time where she felt really truly depressed, not in an abusive way, but she was like, I need to go to a therapist, I need to work on this, you guys would be there and be supportive.
And I said that to someone. I had a friend get very mentally ill like during the pandemic and was not acting correctly about it. And this is when I was drinking heavily. And like, I've had other problems over the years. And I said to her, I was like, with my mom and all this, this is what I learned from my mother is like, no one plans on being mentally ill. No one plans on like developing a drinking problem. Yeah. No one plans on this or that. I'm like, no one cares that like you're an alcoholic or you're bipolar or this or that or the other. I said, what matters is like how you act when you get there.
Yeah.
And I was like, my mom, cause like my dad doesn't drink either. Cause he also had a drinking problem, but he just quit. That's it. He doesn't complain about it. He misses it, obviously. I've seen his face when people are drinking, but he's just like, whatever. He says he doesn't miss it. But there's no drama. There's no nothing. And that's when I quit drinking. I was like, that's why I waited to quit too. Because I was like, when you quit, I was like, you have to be done. None of this back and forth. None of this like wallowing in self-pity. Even though I did get depressed last summer that I wasn't drinking. But
yeah, but now it's like, it's at the time, it seems like it's going to happen, like be forever. But now you're nearly a year.
Yeah.
You have your skin routine. You're in Hawaii. You're like, you're doing great in comedy. You were always doing great anyway. But like, I mean.
But that's what's so sad is like, I think about my mother and I'm like, you literally could have had like an amazing past 20 years of your life, even with everything you did leading up to like losing custody of your kids. You could have had an amazing next 21 years of your life. Like, you could have gotten it together. We would have all forgiven you.
But they don't. That's the thing. That's not what they get off on. It's like that. You know, we were saying about our friend being an energy vampire.
Yes.
They're a sympathy vampire.
Yes.
That's how they like love to suck off the sympathy and be the victim. That's how they know how to be. Whereas if they were just like, if she was like a. Yeah, I don't know if she was like admitted to all of her faults and like, you know, when I'm right, instead of using it against you, you would have much more tolerance for her. You would be like, okay.
It's just like, it reached a point like around when I quit drinking where I'm like, I realized I'm like, I used to be like, oh, she really cares. She really loves us, but she just doesn't know how to. Mm-hmm. She's mentally ill. But then I was like, does she, if like she's, cause like the stuff with her, like picking up like my brother's, like when she was drinking was like 20 years ago. So I was like, whatever. She was bottoming out. She had a drinking problem. Like whatever. She didn't do that stuff after she quit drinking. But I was like, okay. I'm like, you're planning something that could actually kill your oldest son completely sober 20 years later. Yeah. And then I was like, your daughter is telling you that she just quit drinking and really can't handle this.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing too. It sounds like she's volatile so that your brothers would rather risk their health, go along with it, than have an argument with her. And like, COVID is huge. People are dying. And it's specifically, even the anti-vaxxers and anti-maskers are like, okay, if you have diabetes, stay inside. I'm pretty sure that people know that.
He's just so sick. And his health was so frail, even during the pandemic. Like, he's been blind in one eye for a while, but then he went blind in the other eye and he had to have emergency surgery. And his eyesight, I didn't understand how eye surgery worked because I would be like, he's blind. You all need to accept it.
Yeah.
But I guess sometimes it takes a while after ocular surgery for your sight to return. So his sight finally returned, but it was all like precarious. And I'm like, say he even doesn't die. I'm like, say he just gets severely ill COVID and he's blind for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's just, I'm at a point where it's like, yeah, you don't care if you're like, and then I was like, I literally said to her, I was like, I'm so depressed. I was like, I just quit drinking. I was like, I cannot handle this. And she just didn't care.
But also the worry for you, because you're living in a liberal city where there was very like COVID's gonna, you know, it's gonna kill everybody. So that worry on top for you is like too much when you're just trying to like.
She invited me to fly down from New York.
And then she invites you to fly down from New York, but then she also complained about you coming down from New York.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's mental gymnastics.
And then I guess she stalked my Instagram because she sent me some nasty text that I was like taking. She's like, you're endangering everyone by taking bathroom selfies. Because when I drove down for Christmas, I was taking selfies in a bathroom, but I was wearing a mask.
And also, I don't know. That makes no sense. There's nobody in the bathroom with you.
There's no one in the bathroom with me. And I was wearing a mask. So I was like, what?
Yeah. But I mean, you could have been in the bathroom. You could have been. Like, it could have been a situation where you were in the bathroom with the mask and she could have also wrote and be like, oh, God, you're wearing a mask. Chill out. Like, whatever she would have.
It's just
to be against you and whatever. Because that's easier. It's easier to get an argument out of you. I even know with my mother, I learned to not, like, I would just say, it would kind of drive her mad. But it also, when I wouldn't respond and I wouldn't, like, rise to the occasion, that's what would stop it. So then I kind of, that trained me to be very, like, controlled at my reactions, my emotions.
My dad does that. I saw that happen my whole time. It's like, and I've gotten like that with other people, but with her, she can usually get a rise out of me.
Yeah.
Which is bad. I need to work on that. But she just like really fucking.
I think you just need to. Yeah, I think what you're doing, no contact. I'm just a big like, fan of breaking up with your parents.
I fucking lost it when I was like, you're going to fucking kill my older brother after almost killing my younger brother 20 years ago, right when I quit drinking.
Yeah.
And you are potentially killing me mentally because I was like, I said, Mom, I cannot handle you killing Eric right now.
Especially with COVID and everything that was going on, the pandemic, like, and something that could have been avoidable.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, this is completely avoidable. And then after they all got exposed and Thanksgiving got canceled, I was like, okay, we all learned. And then she's like, Christmas. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
I know. And as well, like, it's so frustrating because it's just, in the grand scheme of things, a year or two of him like not seeing your family and just minding his health is guaranteeing him another 30 years of life.
I mean, I don't know. He's pretty sick. But it's just like, I'm like, do you really want to be the one that killed him?
Yeah.
I'm like, do you really want to be the dipshit that invited your grandchildren who are in school without masks on, who got exposed to COVID and then got COVID?
But anything that creates drama. Anything that creates a little bit of like turmoil, they just live in that zone.
I said that to my dad. I said, I don't even think it's about creating turmoil. I think it's like, she just like, it's how it makes her feel to have everyone together under her roof. I'm like, she just wants to feel good that all her kids are there. She doesn't care that she might like kill her oldest son with COVID and then kill her daughter because she like can't fucking handle anything right now.
Yeah.
And that she just, I don't know. Who knows? I don't understand these people.
Me neither. And I'm glad.
I don't think we'll be talking again anytime soon.
Yeah, good. I'm a fan.
That's for the best.
I'm going to call this episode Break Up With Your Parents, and then you don't have to share it on your Instagram story.
No, well, the only one who's going to see it is like my younger brother, and he won't tell her. And then my mom's sister, who, like I said, no one in my family is like, go speak to your mother. They're like, whatever, it's your decision.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. Let the listeners know where they can find you.
I post sad tweets on Instagram, and I don't post that much on social media right now, but I'm going to get back to it soon. So just Instagram and Twitter at Lindsay Tice. I don't really do TikTok.
This is great. This actually was way longer than we planned, but it was really interesting. And nice to have someone on who also can relate to what I went through as well. Okay, for the listeners, as usual, Katie Boyle Comics, sign up to Patreon.com/TheShiftPodcast. I love yous and follow Lindsay and chat to you soon. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.